Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, I had a little situation at the house this morning. We'll get into that. Also, a fabulous round of Rotten Tomatoes coming up. First, Stamps.com. I run my own business. I've written a few books. We send out a lot of stuff here, and we always use Stamps.com, and we do packages and merch and everything else. I've been with these guys for 10 years plus. Stamps.com, we always use them because, well, I mean, I don't know. You do everything from your home and your computer now, right? You don't wait in line. You don't go out. You don't deal with it. Why would you go to the post office? Go to Stamps.com. All the services, the post office will carry out right at your own computer. You can print U.S. postage for any letter, any package for your home or your office. Best part, 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. 700,000 small businesses use it. Small, medium, and large businesses use Stamps.com. They got a special offer this week, a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, enter Adam. Stamps.com, enter Adam. Support for the Adam Carolla podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Back to the toolbox. It's a small, dark place where you can hide from your opioid addiction. Opioid. It's a weird word. It actually bothers me a lot, but then again, everything bothers me when I'm not on Vicodin. Opioid. Sounds like a weird subset of redheaded stepchildren. Good time to give you the suicide hotline. If you're having some issues, call 800-273-TALK. That's 800-273-8255 for the alphanumerically impaired. I'm supposed to give away lunch to Olive Garden, but seriously, you guys even eat there? I mean, it's like bad. My stupid brother says he likes the all-you-can-eat breadsticks. It's a breadstick, man. Call her whatever, we'll win. Request lines are never open, so don't even bother because your music is stupid. Dusty Rhodes is standing by with a look at traffic, so keep that suicide hotline number handy, folks. Let's play for today on the Toolbox. Not a case to what's right. One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, we'll play a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, a man who is always ready for some football, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church better get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love it when you share the show, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Ball Brian.
Let's play some games.
Yeah, man. Excited for the Rotten Tomatoes game. And always say, excited when you guys play along. And you guys send me your scores. And I enjoy reading them. All right. Let's see. stuff to complain about, but also redemption. Ooh. Redemption, everybody. I realized for me in life, I don't know if it, you guys are this way, it's not the whatever actually worked or didn't work or how it worked or why it should have or could have worked or what went down. It's not so much the incident. It's sort of how the incident is handled. I don't mind the part where somebody backs into my car.
It's an accident.
It's a mistake or an accident or something. I don't really have issues with that part of life. I have an issue with what happens after that. There's a version where somebody goes, sorry, my bad, here's my insurance, or let me help you fix it, or whatever it is. And then there's another version where they sort of blame you and say, what are you doing? And I didn't hit you, you rolled into me, and whatever. And that's, for me, where it always goes south. I don't care about the mistakes, as long as it's followed with a won't happen again, or we'll fix it, or whatever. I'm noticing, because of the self-esteem movement, almost everyone fires back immediately. They have answers to everything. They have answers to everything, which is insane most of the time. Sometimes it's defensive. Sometimes they're trying to whatever. But, I mean, it's little stuff, and sometimes it's like nothing stuff. Like when I was getting into Dylan about cleaning his office, and Max Zapata was like, to be fair to Dylan, some of that stuff's been in there since Donnie was here. So it's like saying, clean the garage, and then someone goes, some of that stuff was in there, but some of that stuff's the previous owners.
Before I was even born.
And you go,
that may be true.
Okay, dot, but dot, dot. Just clean the garage. I'm saying clean the garage.
Yeah, sometimes the explanation, like you said, the garage brings us in a circle back to where we started. It's like, okay, well, that's information that may be true.
You're right. Some of the stuff is old and shouldn't be in there or needs to be thrown out. This is why we're cleaning. I'm saying just say okay or let's do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Garage is a mess. There's two ways to go. One is, clean up. The other is, the reason it's a mess is because I'm painting the living room. I had to move stuff in here and I'll move it back. Like, okay, well, that makes sense. Maybe it'll be cleaned up soon.
So it's funny, most or a lot of people want to engage in that discussion. For me, I want to get the garage cleaned and move on to the next project. And today, I have a kind of ongoing saga with the maids. The ongoing saga with the maids is I have a list of things that I need to do, like write jokes for roasts or write books and things like that. But somehow, all the little junk finds its way onto my list.
Front and center.
As well. Yeah. Little bits and pieces of when are the maids coming, who's going to let the maids in. And my general thought is I'm paying for the maids, let someone else handle the maids. But it doesn't really work that way. The way life works is if you're busy, you'll get busier. Right. And if someone's not busy, then they're not busy. Now,
well, the other side of that also is there's five people under this roof who can let the maids in or see, tell them what to do. There's one person under this roof that could write roast jokes.
I have had the conversation.
You haven't talked to Natalia that much, have you?
You know what? One and a half. You're 100% right.
I've had the conversation probably 15 times with Lynette where I said, look, there are things I do and there are things you do. And there's things I do that you can't do, such as write books and roast jokes and go on tour and do stand-up. And then there are things I do that you can do. I need you to do the things you can do so that I can be freed up, clean up my list to write more roast jokes and do more comedy tours and write more books. That conversation hasn't really worked out. Mm-hmm. So me and Matt are in charge of the maids and when they're coming and who's going to open the door.
Poor Matt.
Well, the one you should feel sorry for me first and then Matt secondly. Yeah. So it's a lot of send me a heads up, schedule them, make sure I get the reminder in the morning, make sure the door's open, the maid's going to come in and blah, blah, blah. Fine. I'm in charge of the maids. I don't even want the maids, which is ironic, but the maids shall be coming and I'm in charge of letting the maids in and telling them what to do. So this morning before I came here, and I've had a, I don't know, you can ask Matt, but I would say I don't know, get mad in here and ask him, like, how many debacles we've had with just the scheduling of the mates. I've had these things where I'm like, I am gone every single day, all goddamn day. But, like, one day a week, one day a week, I don't have to leave my house till 1 o'clock.
The Lord's Day.
I don't want the maid showing up at 9 a.m. that day. No. Let them show up every other day when I'm leaving or gone. Yeah. But now the one day when I'm in my bathrobe and like sitting in my den, that's the one day. Matt, how many maid-related conversations have you and I had over the last 5 years?
Definitely more than I have fingers on my hand to represent.
Right. Okay. The arguments, discussions, snafus, confusion.
So many.
Right. You and I are in charge of the maids. I think that would be safe to say.
It's probably the most rewarding part of my job.
Right. And then we have discussions and reminders and...
verbal reminders, email reminders.
Oh, wow. Right.
Calendar updates.
I don't want maids is the comedy of the whole thing, but I'm also in charge of, mm-hmm. of the maids. Now, thank you, Matt. So, living, loving maids.
That's right.
I do love this about Led Zeppelin, when you call in and you have to request a song. Hey, man, can I hear that one about the, it's called The Purple Alligator, and it's she's got a purple... Oh, it's called Come On, Babe, Come Around the Block, or Come Around the... Come on, the merry-go... Can I request a Led Zeppelin song? This one is called... Torn Achilles? Shit. Cut. Misty, Hoppy... God damn it. Hoppy... IPA? Mr... Oh, yeah. Oh, this song. Yeah. This song. Yeah, the alien song. That, it's I just want to request a Zeppelin song. I think it's from Zeppelin 2. I know. Could be from Zeppelin 5. Shit. It's from one of the numbered. It's not from In Through the Outdoor. But it's from one of the numbered. It's 1 through 5, I think. It's one of the numbered albums. I don't think it's the first number. Is it number one? Is it Zeppelin 1 or is this called Led? Okay, so this one goes like, this one is over the hills and, over the hills and far, far away? Okay, this is from Zeppelin, this is from Zeppelin 2 or 3. All right, it could be from Physical Menagerie. It's Physical... Oh, what's it... Oh, Physical Graffiti. That's number... Is that number 3 or is that between 3 and 4? Okay. Anyway, this call ain't talking about love. I think. He's just like... Oh, shit. This one's from Led Zeppelin. This may be from Physical Menagerie. What did I say? This one? Yeah. It goes... All right. Hold on. I can't think. I'll tell you what. Let me just scrap the lead. Banana, banana, bum, bum, banana. This is called Let Me Take You to the Movies. Let Me Take You to the Woodshed. Shit. This, I want to take you to the, let me take you to the movie. Yeah, this is called I Want to Take You to the Movies. No? Okay, wait. Forget it. Forget Led Zeppelin. Forget it. Fuck, I can't think anymore. I want to hear Bad Company's Bad Company off of the album Bad Company. Okay? Fuck it. I'm hanging up.
I have about 10 more Zeppelin songs to go. As long as we all know, but no one knows the title.
We all know Bad Company's Bad Company from Bad Company. Oh, this one. Yeah, this is the best one. This is, it's got the, yeah, Yeah. This is, but, over the, no, Achilles. God damn it. You know the signs for Led Zeppelin? They had this so-so one, and then there was, what was the other one? They had the signs, and then they had the numbers, and then they had the names, and I don't know any of them. All right. Oh, God. There's so many great riffs.
So many. I
have no idea what any of these songs are called. All right. So, the maids. So, I get into this thing all the time where I'm like, look, I don't want to deal with these women pushing vacuums when I'm in there trying to, like, write jokes. So, they must show up.
We cut to the roast and it's all vacuum humor.
They must show up at like 9:30 mm-hmm. and not before 9:30. And then I will let them in and then I will walk out the door. That's how I want to do it. And of course, today I don't know if anyone else is this way. I have an electric toothbrush. I look at standing in front of the mirror and brushing my teeth as a waste of time.
You could be doing something else.
Especially with electric, because you're not supposed to move it back and forth. You're just standing
just holding there.
Yeah, I look at it as a wild waste of time. So I fire up my electric toothbrush most of the time, and then I head into the kitchen, pour the coffee, put it in the microwave. By the time hit 30 seconds, by the time I get back to my bathroom, I'm done brushing my teeth. I feel like I've done something.
It sounds gross, but, well, you're not this kind of guy, the guy who would get grossed out by this, but if you're an efficient pooper, you should brush your teeth while you poop.
Yeah, I feel like I need hands, though.
What? How do you poop?
Well, no, I'm not I don't I don't squeeze my loins. At a certain point, I'm going to reach for some toilet paper or something. Okay. Like, my thing is I don't know. I'd like to find out who does that and who doesn't do it. For me, I brush my teeth. I go do something. Mm-hmm. I find something to do, somewhere to go. Like, I, in a way, it's not even, I don't even need to do it. I just like, usually if I walk from my bathroom to the kitchen, pop something in the microwave and get back, that's the amount of time I need to. Let's find out, Max Zapata, who brushes their teeth and just sort of stands in the bathroom. And I don't blame them versus the people that sort of go do something.
Well, there's other bathroom stuff. Like, I like to dab a little bit of the eye serum. I could do that while I'm brushing my teeth because I, too, have an electric toothbrush.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere.
The multitasker toothbrushers. Anyway.
I do a very, very, very junior version of that because there's always Tessa shit to clean. Not shit, but like, you know, toys or, you know, stuff in the bathroom. Duckies and shit. So I'm all constantly just putting them back in the bathtub or whatever.
But you don't not the 1,000-mile stare with the toothbrush.
No, no.
So what I did today is I was like, I don't know if I was like in my towel and I fired up the toothbrush and it was like, well, it's 9:18, and the maids have been yelled at 70,000 times. Do not come before 9:30. Do not come before 9:30.
You got 12 minutes.
And I fire up the toothbrush, and I'm walking into the kitchen. And as I'm standing in the kitchen brushing my teeth, I hear the ding-dong. And it's like, God damn it, they're here. And I was like, do I let them in while I'm brushing my teeth or do I walk around the door?
And they were like, Postmates with a McGriddle.
Yeah, they were sort of knock, knock, knocking again. And I was like, ugh. And so I just did a sort of curt kind of move where I walked past the front door and opened it and just sort of kept walking past it with my toothbrush. And then
message received.
I got to
come in if you must.
I got to my bathroom and I was like, God damn it. I'm so fucking tired of being in charge of this and dealing with it all the time. And I don't even want maids. And also, I've said 5,000 times, like, do not look. If you get here at 9:15, fine. Sit in your car in the driveway. Like, literally, do not knock on that door before 9:29 and 3/4. Like, I time my shit out. That's how I do it. I don't want to be in the shower. I don't want to be brushing my teeth. I don't want to be, and I just want to know you cannot knock on that door before 9:30. And I was sitting in my, I was like spitting into the sink and I was like, fuck it. I'm firing these chicks. I'm done. I'm fucking done being in charge of this shit. I'm done with all the fucking scheduling and all the discussions with Matt. I don't care about the fucking house. Fuck it. And And I said to the woman, there's two of them, I said to her, I said, you know, I have you scheduled for 9:30, and you're about 10, 15 minutes early, and that's not 9:30. Like, it does screws up my schedule a little bit. And then I waited, because 99% of the people answer to me, at least in my world, they go, hey, I was told to come at 9, or... yeah, we got here early. They say what you said. We got here early, so we don't want to wait in the car. They say some shitty form of an answer. And I was just waiting to squeeze the trigger on, you're gone. And she's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. It won't happen again. I understand what that's like, and we'll get it right next time. And I was like,
put a fire blanket on you.
I immediately just went, done. Yeah. I just walked away. I went from that... That scene in Goodfellas when they were like, we're going to go kill what's his name? Yeah. And they're like playing cards. Yeah. He just looked at me.
Maury's
yeah.
wig.
Yeah, it just looked at him and went, not tonight.
That thing's yeah. not tonight.
I was going to do this. And then her answer was, I could not, it was like, every time I say something to somebody, it's like a racquetball being like John Candy in Splash.
Splash.
Yeah. It's like, I've hit the racquetball, and it just comes firing right back at my head. This is me just hitting a racquetball against a curtain.
Oh, yeah.
It just fell down to the ground. And she was like, I'm so sorry. You're right. Wow. We should have got that right. And
satisfying.
I was like, what? Done. Done.
Now.
Done. Walked right away. But not everyone else. Everyone else got engaged. They got engaged. They all have to engage. Now, look, it's part of the Me Too movement. It's part of self-esteem movement. A little Me Too in there. But self-esteem, it's like everybody has something going on. Every 19-year-old feels like they have to. My 19-year-old nephew has to settle my hash over him not showing up to work. I get it. It's bad. Please drop it. Mm. I think these women have been humbled enough where they realize, fuck it, I'm not going to argue with the fucking rich guy in his house.
It's not worth losing a gig over.
But everyone, please tear a page out of their playbook and stop engaging everything. There doesn't have to be a comeback to everything. The comeback could be, okay, I got it.
Now, I got to be the one to point out that later that night, after De Niro assured Ray Liotta that the tonight wasn't the night, they still got Maury. They got him with the screwdriver in the back of the neck.
I know.
They still did the job.
I know. And it may still happen.
Still got that itchy trigger finger.
But this particular time, I was immediately diffused by the person just saying, sorry, won't happen again.
And if she apologizes and next time they show up at 9:22.
I am pretty bottomless with the, my bad, won't happen again. And if you want to engage, then I have all the energy and time in the world to engage. So if you just go, my bad, moving on, we will move on.
All right.
Eric. Oh, wait. John Candy hitting himself in the head with a. It was a great physical scene. John Candy was a great character in that movie.
Great character actor.
He was a great character actor. He is the. You know, not everyone shall be missed. He's one of those. We shall miss him. I don't know, Max Patty, you're playing it?
It's
going to serve.
That's good stuff.
I don't know how many takes it took him to do it. That was not CGI.
No,
he just whacked it against the thing. And
if you saw Daryl Hannell's tail, you'll know it was no CGI in that movie.
That's who it is. Now,
it's not digitally perfect?
No.
I have two people in my life. Sonny, if he leaves the fan on in his room, I go, Sonny, you left the fan on in the room. And he goes, sorry, won't happen again. And he just shuts it off. If I say that to Natalia, she'll go, it's so hot. And then I go, I know, but you're not in the room. And she's like, yeah, but it's so hot. And then I go, it doesn't cool the room. It
cool
just
you.
Wastes electricity. If you're in there, turn it on. Dad, it's so hot outside. It's like, okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I feel, you guys tell me, there must be many more people wired this way than there used to be.
Okay.
You guys... Look, I hired my 17-year-old nephew. Right. He settled my hash.
Yeah. You did it yourself.
Is there any, what I'm saying is did that person exist 25 years ago?
In a much smaller number.
I'm not saying they didn't exist. I'm saying it's epidemic levels now.
The age group was confined. I was an asshole when I was a kid. Everything was, what happened was, that's what kids do, but people are not growing out of it the way they used to grow out of it.
Yes, the adolescence is being taken into the 40s. Maybe it's social media, maybe it's self-esteem, maybe it's prescription meds or whatever, but this ability, look, just look how people treat cops.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, you couldn't treat cops off the table.
Yeah. Cop came into our classroom to give a talk about drugs and was terrified of them because he was like,
your drugs.
Think about teachers, cops, just people in authority, bosses, whoever, didn't exist.
I think you were stumbled onto something earlier when you talked about the maids. You thought they'd been humbled. I don't think people get humbled at the same age anymore, the same level, or the same regularity. You know what I mean? I doubt your nephew had a humbling experience in his life to that point.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Being humbled helps.
Yeah.
It helps. All right. Let's see. Let me talk to Eric, 28, San Diego. Eric?
Hey, Ace Man. Great to talk to you. Gina and Bulbs. Well,
hey. Yeah, man.
I can't wait to watch Safe Spaces. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a good movie. It is a good movie. I've seen it.
And last thing is, I wanted to thank you for inspiring me to do stand up comedy for the first time last month. So that was a lot of fun. But
nice.
How'd it go?
It went really well, surprisingly. I thought I was going to bomb, but. I got some laughs.
Good. You got a question about Andrew Yang?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Andrew Yang because I'm kind of a rationalist like you, where I feel confused every day why everyone does nonsensical shit literally all day, every day. And Yang seems to be the only Democrat or anybody who has any idea what the hell is going on at any time. He's not some Gavin Newsom character talking about total bullshit. I just wanted to see what you thought about his freedom dividend, because at first I thought that was weird. $1,000 a month, and just him in general, because he seems like the only person who has any policies to fix any problems.
I have people tweeted me a few times, hey, how about Andrew Yang on the show? And I went, yeah, I'll have Andrew Yang on the show. And as far as the fixed income thing or whatever we're calling it,
universal basic income,
whatever. I my knee jerk is I don't believe in it, and I'm sure it won't work. But I'm all ears. He can come in here and explain it to me, and there's a very good chance I would go, oh, all right, never thought of that. I'm fine with that. You know, what kind of drives me nuts is, I get these tweets all day. It's like, how about have Andrew Yang on the show? And I go, okay, good. Have Andrew Yang on the show. And then someone will go, how about Candace Owens? And I'll go, I like Candace Owens. Have her on the show. And then I'll get the fucking tweets like, oh, you and Bill O'Reilly are going to go out lynching this weekend. It's like, look, I said have Andrew Yang on the show. I said have Candace Owens on the show. Let them give us their opinions. What the fuck? It's like, it's so insane.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to talk to anybody you're only allowed to talk to people from this side of the aisle, and you're not allowed to entertain ideas or thoughts from other people. I'm pretty consistent. People send me tweets, go have this guy on the show. And I go, okay, we'll get him on the show. What the fuck? Especially as an adult, again, we're this theme of how are adults thinking this way?
Yeah.
I don't know where all this is going. Candace Owens basically saying drop the victimhood and really empower black people by fucking not making them victims. I agree with Candace Owens. Okay. Have her on the show. Andrew Yang has said some things I agree with. Have him on the show, and then maybe things I disagree with. We shall talk. So people have been tweeting about it and that's fine. I would welcome Andrew Yang on the show. And I am actually curious when here's how I think. I think universal income, horrible idea, will never work. But then I think, this guy's smart. So then I think, how can this work? It's like when Brian heard about the Lego movie. He was like, what?
This is ridiculous.
How is this going to work? But then at some point you go, Make it work for me. Convert me.
There is a very narrow path that this can work, and they found it.
It did.
Yeah.
I was just talking about Pirates of the Caribbean on the Film Vault last night, and a movie that, by all means, should have been ridiculous, based on a Disney park ride, starring Johnny Depp, who hadn't been in a good movie in God knows how long. And it was awesome. We all agree it was a great movie.
Epic. Right. So you hear Lego the movie, and you go, what? And then there's a party that goes, well, the guys that are making it aren't stupid, and they have people that are good in it.
They want it to work.
And then you go, all right, Andrew Yang's not stupid, so let him come over and explain to me. And by the way, I want the Lego movie to be good.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be good.
But what a great world it would be if it was good.
Right. So I kind of want Andrew Yang's Universal Income to work. And I want him to explain to me how it's going to work.
Doesn't that have to do with, because this is still a little confusing to me, that was the Freedom Dividend, the Amazon.
Yeah.
Is that the Lego movie?
Yes, the Lego movie, yeah.
Not at all.
So, when you buy a ticket, you get $12 back.
Hopefully we can do that.
Yeah, so I'd say, like, I thought the same thing, that Elon Musk supported it. This guy, Yang, he took the SAT at 12, got top 0.5% in the country. But another thing that you said, like, you can't talk to people, and I wanted to get your opinion on this too, Adam. So I said, Carly Lloyd, of course she can't kick in the NFL. Like, that's just ridiculous. She's not an NFL kicker. These guys make $4 million a year and practice all day long. Got called the sexist and a horrible person by hundreds of people. Lost almost 1,000 followers on Twitter because people got all mad. And I wanted to see, like, you agree, right? There's no fucking way she can kick in the NFL.
Well,
5'7", 140 pounds.
Here's the thing. I was drilling down on her. I didn't even know who she is. I just saw the vid on Twitter or whatever, somebody shot it to me. I was talking about this with Damashek. Okay, just to be sort of technical about it. If you want to kick field goals, you got to take two steps or three steps. I can't remember what it is. She took multiple. She did like a kickoff. If you take NFL kickers and you field goal kickers and you let them kick off, you let them get a run at it, they can put it another 17, 22 yards further in the air. Their range would be, you know, they kick from the 30-yard line. They kick it out of the back of the end zone or into the end zone. Most of the guys in the league will get it from the 30.
I thought you meant from kicking a field goal from the 30. You're saying kicking the off.
Well, what I'm saying is if the guy kicks off, he will kick the ball from the 30 into the end zone or out of the end zone. That means the ball shall travel 80 yards in the air or 75 yards or whatever it is in the air. Now, that same guy is good from 55 and a field goal because he doesn't get the run at it. He gets the short steps. Right. So if she can kick a 55-er without the run at it, which we're going to watch her do it and see. I haven't studied it too closely, but...
It takes
too long. It's impressive, don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't work in the NFL. So you've got to be able to do it on two steps.
Someone said I couldn't do it, but then I was like, of course I couldn't fucking do it. It would get blocked and I'd get knocked out unconscious. But
so here's my thing with her. Show me your range with a traditional two-step. I'm saying two-step. It could be three-step. I can't remember what it is. But it's like a two-step or three-step. Max Pata, what is it?
Usually three steps back, two steps to kick. Three steps back, two steps to the left or right.
How many steps to kick?
Two or three to kick, though.
Yeah. Okay. Show me your range at two or three.
Right.
Now, I'm guessing you go from 55 to 40 if you do that. And if you go from 55 to 40 or 42, now you can't play in the league.
Right.
Now, also, I don't think what people understand is, and I know a little about this because I went and took a guy to try out to be a professional kicker and blah, blah, blah. The guys who make the cut and are on the team, these guys are good from 63 now. And we're talking about Gonneau when he kicked it last year. I don't know, the Panthers with like no time on the clock. He kicked like a 63-yarder. That thing went 10 feet above the crossbar. I mean, that thing would have been good from 67, 68. I mean, that was nuts. But anyway, what people don't really realize about sports is, like, they're the guys that are professional baseball players. And then just underneath them are a ton of guys who are great in college and the best players in their high school and the best baseball player you've ever known or met or lived next door to or worked at the sewage treatment facility with. Right underneath them.
When we watch, Hard Knocks, the guys who get cut are just a little bit below the guys who make the team. They're the best player on their college team.
You know how many guys were great kickers in college, great kickers in high school, great kickers in the Canadian League, great kickers in Arena League, great everywhere. It's just just a paper thin below that cut. There's so many of those people. So to include her in those people is fine. Say she would go past all of those guys that were kicking in college and playing for the Gators and Alabama and whatever and are not in the show, that's a little nuts.
Yeah, she's about on the level of a good college kicker.
Is she as good as Kathy Ireland?
She's on the level of a good college kicker, because a good college kicker would do a two-step and good for 50 yards. I don't think she's at that level. What I'm saying. What she's doing is cool.
It is. I watch a lot more college football than the average person. College kickers are not NFL kickers. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason. Yes. There's a reason six of them make the league every year or less.
But a good college kicker is good from 45 and above, right?
More or less.
Yeah, I don't think she's there. But what she's doing is cool. I mean, you know. It doesn't mean she has to play in the NFL. I don't the injury part, whatever. I don't care about that. She's the kicker. They don't take a lot of punishment. So that's
fine. It's illegal to hit the kicker.
Yeah,
unless the ball's loose or something.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying what she's doing is cool. The video's cool. God bless her. But let's not get over our skis and say she could start in the NFL. She couldn't. Yeah. But that doesn't. Neither could anyone you know.
Right.
It's fine.
Right. Well. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, Adam. And I'll let you guys go. But let's do a Yang Corolla 2020, maybe 2024. I'm president, because you're gonna like him a lot.
I am interested in talking to this this person. So we'll see if we can make it happen. The let's see. Most kickers take two. Okay. She took four. Mm. All right. So. My thing about the video is it's really cool. Do it with two steps and let's see what we got. Start at the 30, keep moving the ball back, 5-yard increments, and we'll see when you run out of leg. And I think you'll run out of leg at 38 or 40, and then everyone will know that's not NFL material. Let's see. Books. Let's see. Adam's opinion on songs. Ooh, we got a Tool tune. Let's see. Jeff?
Hello?
Yeah, Tool Tune?
Hey guys, how you doing? Love the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Gina.
Hi.
Hey, guys. I wanted to get your opinion on a couple songs. The first, Tool Tune Judgment on Never Surrender by Corey Hart.
That's a Tool Tune. That is a Tool Tune, if I've ever
no
heard of
it. I mean, it's no sunglasses at night.
Yeah, but it's a tight seal on the window.
Yeah. Yeah.
Already my finger's getting itchy to go to that window window button.
I didn't want Adam to say it was a bad song.
It's by definition a Tool Tune, because I would not change this song if it came on.
However,
I would definitely roll those goddamn windows up. It's right there.
Also, I don't think this song should allow that long of an intro. It's not an epic song. That was a long intro.
It's a 5-minute song.
It does have a long build-up. It doesn't kick in until about 2 minutes.
Now let's get to the hook.
Come on,
all right,
Corey.
It's very 80s.
That's 7th grade dance. That's some Sadie Hawkins shit right there.
Who was Sadie Hawkins?
I don't know.
Max Fantasy. We find out who Sadie Hawkins was and how good her leg was, and would she be good from 55?
She had a running start.
All right. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
I like this song, and I'm ashamed. So, Tooltip. You've done yourself proud.
This is weird. Do you know who Sadie Hawkins was?
No.
The daughter of Little Abner in the cartoon, the comic strip.
Oh,
was
really?
She was chasing boys?
Oh,
that
right.
That must be it.
My God. Start thinking about... God, what was the cartoon where the guy, what was his name? The guy used to just punch his wife
Andy
in the
Capp.
Face.
Andy Capp.
Andy Capp would just punch his wife in the face.
He was a delightful rogue.
He Scamp.
It was a cartoon about a guy who would come home late from the pub.
I think he was Irish.
He was like drinking.
Oh, come on.
He was drinking at the pub too late.
Love to believe.
He'd like come home. His wife would get in his grill a little for being out too late and drinking too much. And he'd punch her in the face.
Yep. Show her what for.
Shut her for next time. Oh, wait. Not until next Sunday.
He'd punch her in the face. What is this one? Let's see.
She's on the floor and there are dishes broken around her. He's standing above her and says, "Look at it this way, honey. I'm a man of few pleasures, and one of them happens to be knocking you about."
Well, you got to read it in the dialect, Gina. Happens to be knocking you about.
There it is. They would have understood that perfectly.
His pleasure is knocking her. His pleasures is beating on his wife.
Yeah, he knocked her through a wall into somebody else's apartment and says, "Can I have me wife back?"
He's smoking, too.
Oh, there's more.
Simpler times. What's this one? He's walking out the door. He's smoking and walking out the door.
She's on the ground dazed.
Right.
This is a tough one. "Where's your manners? When we was courting, you used to take your cap off before you hit me."
Jesus Christ. It's crazy, right?
Again, Gina, you got to get the dialect down. Afore you hit me.
Yeah, they'd never understood
this that. This is not from the 40s. This was in the Los Angeles Times in the 80s.
This is insane.
This is literally in the Los Angeles Times. It's probably in the San Francisco Gazette or whatever. This is in the most progressive cities.
Oh, yeah, I remember Andy Capp from growing up.
Biggest Chronicle. Newspapers. Like, when did the Los Angeles Times drop Andy Capp? It was in the 90s.
I can't believe it.
It's a cartoon. First off, it wasn't funny. It was just sort of based on domestic abuse. Like, there wasn't a joke at the end.
He beat her up. On a regular basis.
So, unless you think spousal abuse is funny, there is no real joke.
Yeah. And that guy got paid.
Like, the Far Side had jokes.
Indeed.
The joke was, I punch you in the face.
Every Sunday.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Was Andy Capp Irish or British? All right, go ahead and do
it
your thing.
Seems British.
English comic.
English, yeah. All right, let me hit the teencounseling.com, everyone. Connect your 13 to 19-year-old with a licensed professional counselor where they spend their time on their smartphone. That's where the kids are. Starts with a short questionnaire to help them understand your teen and their needs. Then you're matched with an available therapist to start communicating within 24 hours. You can review their credentials and directly communicate with the counselors to make sure it's a good fit. Easy and free to change counselors if needed. More affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit teencounseling.com/Corolla. Help your teen take charge of their mental health. And Adam Carolla Show listeners get 10% off the first month. It's a hectic world out there for the young kids up on all the social media and everything. Let them get their heads straight, man. We understand they're going to the gym. Let's get the head straight, man. 10% off first month at teencounseling.com/Corolla. All right. I'm just going to blow through these calls because I feel bad. Nathaniel, 40, Michigan, works all the time, doesn't know what to do on his days off. Nathaniel?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
How about you be of service to other people? I'm telling you, it makes you feel great. Help out.
Okay.
Take your skill. Do you have a skill? What's your skill set?
I am a carpenter.
Good. Oh, perfect. Habitat for Humanity, all that stuff. Like, literally, just pass your skill on. You'll feel great about yourself.
Volunteer, like, you know, teach kids how to woodwork. You know, yeah. Little things, birdhouses and stuff.
All
like
that stuff. You'll feel great. Jeff, 42, Kansas City.
Hey, gang, how's it going?
Good.
So I just had a thought that, and I definitely don't want to change your mind. That would be impossible. But children's book authors and DJs are not the worst people in the world.
Yeah, I
and
they're know. Not this big publicists are the worst, but go ahead.
Well, I know you always like to rag on them, and I agree they suck. But for every children's book that gets published, there's probably 10 people who wish they could, think they should, and never do it. Same thing with DJs, right? You're in the club,
yeah.
You're DJing, and there's probably 20 people up there going, "I wish I was that person," but they never do it, or they can't do it.
Yeah. Okay. It's sort of DJing, podcasting's the same way, children's book. There's not a lot of barrier to entry.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, and anyone can do it.
There's a certain percentage at the top that are really good. There's your Dr. Seuss's, and I'm sure there's DJs that are really, really good. But then there's a whole bunch that are just like, I'm a children's book author, I'm a DJ, and they're not that great.
Again, what if I took a thoracic surgeon and I said, hey, you know what? What? Paris Hilton can do what you do. That guy would kill him fucking self. That's all you need to do. If Paris Hilton can do what you do, you don't do anything. All right.
All right.
Also, we have a staff poll. I'll tell you what. Let's tease it. Who multitasked when brushing their teeth?
That's why we're number one, everyone.
We'll take a quick break. We'll do Rotten Tomatoes game. We'll tell you the answer to that poll. We'll do that right after this.
$25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for the fifth month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a 9-ounce jar of TBJ Gourmet's Bacon Jam, perfect for bread, burgers, and every other food on planet Earth. A world championship of guacamole avocado slicer, plus the recipe card for last year's gold medal guac. A copy of Mistrial by Mark Garrigus. Of course, a bottle of Mangria or 33 wine. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find a golden ticket. That's right, one lucky winner will be invited to a morning of Sunday football at the coveted Corolla Car Museum. Sign up at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25 and cross your fingers because you and a guest may be watching the games with Adam and his regular football Sunday crew. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. The Adam Carolla Show takes a look back at the staff's Google search history for the past month.
Vegan Mexican food, San Fernando Valley. Asian serial killer cabins. Bill Gates shoes. How does Dennis Rodman make money? Kevin Hart jackfruit. Zuma Beach. Creamy French versus Thousand Island. Daniel Craig shirtless. Gay marriage longevity. Do people eat cassowary? Jenkum. Take off that brassiere, my dear. How much does Harvey Weinstein weigh? Sometimes when we touch. 1979, Bantams, Chatsworth Chiefs, College of the Canyons. Kurt Russell's eye patch. Aloha, Bobby and Rose. Robert Kraft oral. Vampire facial. Which states have upskirt laws? 85-year-old man abortion. Shroud of Turin.
That's what's in our browser history. And now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I talk to people who are smart all the time, and I've said
sure
this,
do.
I've said this for a million years. Brian, you've heard me say this. When I was on Loveline, like long before I had kids, I'm like, listen, I don't care about education. If my kid is curious, they're fine. If they're not curious, God fucking help them. Right. They're not curious, there's nothing we can do. There's no schooling that'll ever fix that. And every time I talk to someone smart, they're always curious. They just have questions. They want to know everything. I mean, you look at Brian Grazer. His curiosity has made him a cajillionaire. Literally his curiosity wants to know how that works. It wants to meet that person, whatever. And then you talk to people, they have no curiosity. Yeah. They just have
no follow-up questions.
They have nothing. They have nothing. I mean, it's a little, I always laugh. I think about Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager will be on an airplane. He'll always say, like, he always strikes up a conversation with, like, his seatmate. Where are you going? Right. Do you live in this town? Are you coming home or whatever? And they'll say, do you live in this town? Or are you coming home? Or do you live somewhere else? And he'll go, no, I'm just going to Chicago to do a lecture. And then they'll pause and they'll go, oh, okay. And they'll go back to looking at the Sky Mall. And they don't go, what are you, what is the subject? I don't, I mean, obviously I live, my fucking parents are this way. They don't ask anything. It's a little insulting to the people around you, but it also makes you, you don't know anything. It's why you don't know anything. When I said to my mom, I'm going to Laguna Seca to do a race, why aren't you asking any questions? Like, why don't you want to know what kind of car I'm driving?
Is it a foot race?
Her answer was, you know I don't know anything about cars. Well, hey, bitch, you made it to 90 without knowing anything about cars because you've never asked a fucking question.
You can know a little bit more in this conversation. Yeah.
So fucking weird.
Yes. You know, I remember the exact moment that really came into focus for me. I was in college and doing this independent study on Japanese theater because that was my concentration. Really used it. Kyogen and no, not Kabuki because that was too mainstream. And so I had to read this book on Suzuki training in Kyogen and my sensei, this old man who I loved dearly. Sensei,
what are you talking about?
Sensei Tsubaki was like, are you ready for, you know, for our one-on-one?
And I said, Aishidoshi. Yes, sir. You say Aishidoshi.
And he said, do you have any questions? And I was so proud of myself. And I said, no, of course not. Because I thought that's what he wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. I had so digested this book that I understand everything. And I thought that was going to make him really proud of me. And he looked at me and said, oh, Gina, that is not a good sign. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it because I thought the right answer was, of course I don't have questions. I'm smart. I get it. I understood the book. And at that moment, I realized, no. That's not what smart means. That was the pan flute was playing in the room 209.
Are you ready?
I've never been readier.
For bukkake training.
Oh, no, Suzuki training, sensei.
You misread.
Lock the door.
You have questions about bukkake?
I really thought this was for my mask work, my Japanese mask work.
Oh, it is.
Duck and cover! You've heard of blackface?
Excuse me?
You've heard of blackface?
There's
such a thing as whiteface.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I use the white paint when we do the kabuki training.
I have glasses you wear in tan salon. Sorry. All right.
Miss you, Dr. Tsubaki.
He will be missed. Yes, no questions. No one has any questions. All right, Max Brad, we have our poll, our hard-hitting toothbrush poll.
Yep, very hard-hitting. Here we go. Kalen, when he brushes his teeth, he likes to clean.
Mm.
He goes around that apartment, cleans.
How long does that toothbrushing last?
No, I get it. That I do that too. I'll just in my office. I'll just like tidy it up in the 2 minutes. Yes.
Dawson just brushes and was actually shocked that other people don't just brush their teeth. He was
how much
yelling
time
at us.
Are you really saving?
You don't, but he doesn't eat a burrito while he's brushing. No, you don't. It's a fundamental. It's a spiritual thing. It's not that you're saving time or how much can you really clean your office in 90 seconds or your den or your living room or whatever it is. There's a couple of things. If you ever box a 3 minute round, you'll find out how long 3 minutes is. It's longer than you think. If you do radio and you put on a song that's 3 minutes, you'll find out that there's time to go to the bathroom, smoke a cigarette, and hit the vending machine and come back. Like
the magic number for a cigarette is 5 minutes and 47 seconds.
You realize how long a few minutes can be. You do stand up, you're going to find out how long five minutes is. There's a lot that can be done.
This one is called, I got, this one's got a whole lot of Misty Living Loving, a lot of maid. This is a whole lot of maids. It's a whole lot of Misty hops. This, this one is, this is going back to school, schooling. It's great. This woman, you need a, this one's about a whole lot of Misty. No, this whole lot of love. Whole lot of love. Whole lot of love. Yeah. Wanna, no, want a whole lot. This is, I want. This is the, this is from Four. This is from In Through the Outdoor. This is from In Through the Fire Exit. No, this is the up. This is Up the Down Escalator, I think. Right? This is this is You Don't Have to Go. Don't go. This is You Don't Have to Go. I want to request this Led Zeppelin song off of one of the number downs where she's talking about going, but you don't have to go, which could go. But if you're going and you're brushing your teeth while you're going, yeah, that's fine, but you got to free those hands up at some point. All right. Sorry, Max Pat, who else do we have?
Emmy likes to pee while he brushes his
teeth. That's good.
Gabe likes to do it in the shower, or he does it while he shits.
Very
good.
That bugs me.
It's a waste of time anyway.
Fondelier just brushes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I organize the medicine cabinet and sink.
Okay.
You know what? I think there's something to be said for it's almost like meditating. Like, do we have to be in motion all the time? Can't you just sit there and brush your teeth?
You can.
Dawson can.
No, I think it...
I futz with the cream and I'll put a little something on, but why can't we just stand?
I think it's an indicator. Oh, could I request the Led Zeppelin song, Hey Hey Mama? Or, it's called Achilles Foot Long or Over this one's called Felt? No. Angora. Achilles Angora. No. This one's called Over the Cashmere Mountain Hot or something. It's off of Led Zeppelin. Like he's hitting that cowbell, you know, and he's like, I think it's called The Way You Move or Hey Hey Mama or Hey Mama. Or Misty Mountain Hop or something, I think. He says he's can't. Flaming heart can get my feel. Yeah. You know the one I'm talking about? Jesus Christ. What, like, the what number album was that off of?
That was off Four. That was the first song off of Led Zeppelin Four.
There you go. All right. So are we done with the poll? We found out what everyone does?
Yeah, that's everyone.
All right. Trying to think. Now, do we find out? Could we? Oh, this one is off of Led Zeppelin 1 through 5. I can't. I think. I don't think it's. This one is not Exit Through the Gift Shop. I don't think. Or out through the into the. Can I have some back door or something? There's something with a door. All right. I think Dawson and Matt are pretty consistent, but I'm trying to think of what. Trying to think of it. It's a tell or an indicator what it means. I think you have to have a little chillax in you or something. I agree. You shouldn't be on a treadmill all the time. I just look at it as I'm wasting my time somehow by doing this. And by the way, I do like tidy up my office when I'm brushing my teeth, and I make a little ground. You know, when somebody says clean the office famously or clean the garage, you know, they go take an hour, but it's really not an hour. Like if your car's a mess and you just want to clean it out, I'm not talking about detailing it. I'm just talking about just kind of get the papers out, empty the shit, you got some pennies and some change like in the cup holder and stuff like that. It's a 8 minute process. It's not half an hour. Like if you pump gas, second pull. When I pump gas, I'm on my car. Like I'm cleaning out junk. I'm pulling stuff out of the cup holder. Yep. I'm balling up papers. Like
checking.
I am going on a full mode on my car. But again, if you the pump 7 minutes, you make headway. All right, should we play the game? By the way,
yeah. All right.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. It can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. The sun names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
The note says on the screen, Dawson just pumps gas.
Oh, yeah. I can't.
Everyone else seems to do something. We envy Dawson, right?
Hell yes.
Let me hit Castrol Edge real quick, and then we'll get into this. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and friction and fighting each other. Three times, fool. Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is Castrol Edge, formulated in ways to exceed the highest industry standards. All right. Sorry, Dawson.
All right. This game is themed around the fifth installment of Adam's Monthly Nut, featuring all kinds of cool stuff for exclusive super fan subscriptions. Each month, we specially curate items on the Corolla universe. And if you're not already a member, you got to sign up at CorollaDrinks.com. Here's what we got. First, you get a copy of Mistrial by the great Mark Garagus.
Nice.
Among many of Mark's celebrity clients, back in 2002, he defended Oscar-nominated actress Winona Ryder on charges of stealing more than $5,500 worth of merch from a Saks Fifth Avenue in Beverly Hills. But almost 10 years before that, Winona starred alongside Susan Sarandon, Claire Danes, and a young Kirsten Dunst in an adaptation of the great classic Louisa May Alcott novel, 1994's Little Women.
Saw this in the theater. So great.
Have not seen this.
Wonder how much leg these bitches have. Let's see.
Oh, no. Who's the fourth one? Is she not going to do anything?
Yeah, you wouldn't know her. Okay. I couldn't tell you her name. She was the oldest sister in the movie.
What year is this?
92?
94.
All right. I was out.
Thank you, Grant.
Heard about the novel a million times. Have no idea. Never read anything. I never read anything. But not only did I never read anything, my junior high and high school never required us to read anything.
Like, really?
We never did.
Well, never required you to read anything, and never required students to read anything.
If somebody had said, we're going to take a deep dive into Shakespeare, I would have sat there and endured it. We never did that. We didn't get into any classics or anything, Ulysses or anything. We just didn't do anything. I don't know. I took cooking and sewing classes, like home ec classes, like ceramic classes. We didn't really. I sailed all the way through junior high and high school, and we never discussed Shakespeare.
Wow.
Never happened.
There's no required reading in your English class that you remember.
Again, there may have been in the class.
They would say, like, pick out a book. For me, it was The Phantom Tollbooth. Read, because I read it in the sixth grade. I just kept doing the same book over and over again. Pick out a book, read the book, and write a book report on it.
But it's not like over the summer we expect you to read Grapes of Wrath.
No, none of these were ever discussed.
Gina, we had required reading all through high school and college, too, for that matter. Like summer, like in high school.
That's why Grapes of Wrath came in my mind.
They'd give you the list in the summer and be like, have these books read by the time you get back to school.
Be off book.
And 9 out of 10 were torture, but then every once in a while you get like a Mice and Men.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that was really good.
I don't know. I'm not sure if there's some weird little pocket of education that I fell into or something.
Yeah, like one of those key pockets in the jeans. I mean,
I don't know. You can talk to all the other dumbos I went to high school with, but they never sat us down and went, they would say, you have to do an oral report, pick out Willie Mays. Or one of the Wright brothers.
I have to imagine everyone under this roof had required like summer reading books. Like, they're the books you have to read by fall.
All those, the books you discuss, I have never read, and were never discussed. You know, the top, the top shelf of all these things, never discussed in my class and never required in the class or outside of the class.
I'm going to throw one more in as a Hail Mary that I know you read in high school.
No.
Catcher in the Rye.
No, never, never read any books.
Because that's about teenage. Like that's a big one. Yeah.
They didn't require. We listened. Mr. Bernal played a Doobie Brothers song, and we broke it down.
That was awesome.
Pretty cool.
It was.
He knew his audience.
What a fool believes.
What a fool believes. Yeah. Right.
Max Patty, you don't look like you know anything.
No, I don't. If we did get summer reading, I never did it. I just either skimmed it or was able to get by.
Do you remember it being discussed?
You obviously had summer reading, you just didn't do it.
Yeah. It wasn't really, it was rarely discussed. I mean, there were probably like a quiz or a test when we got back or something, but I was able to get by. Like, I don't even remember it.
These are all these books you mention are all books I've heard of because they're discussed.
Huck Finn, Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah. No one ever broke them down in the classroom or required anyone to read them.
Wow.
USD. Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's fucking horrible. The school system's fucking horrible. I never took an algebra class. I took math classes.
Wow.
It's a colossal waste of fucking time and money. And by the way, I didn't go to a bad school. I wasn't in the inner city.
Whoa, yeah.
No. We had agriculture and horticulture. The guy... The teacher's name is Mr. Danbaum. We call it Danbaum's Dirt Farm. And you just go take fucking three classes. I grew turnips.
That's pretty cool.
Ray was in the fucking Future Farmers of America. He lived in a fucking shitbox apartment in North Hollywood. He never even seen soil.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's odd.
What, do you think Ray needs to learn how to slop hogs?
Yeah, Animal Husbandry 101.
I grew up in Kansas, and we didn't have an FFA club or class.
That's hilarious.
It's fucking nuts. but maybe it's like Donnie was in a trailer with gangbangers. He wasn't even in the school. He was in the parking lot.
It's like the spillover class.
Trailer on like a satellite scissor class. Leveled on a scissor jack. And he'd just like show up, say hi to the teacher, like check in, and then go to Jack in the Box.
Wow.
I mean, we were like just warehouse. Chris stopped showing up. Ray just sat there. Like, we didn't do anything. We didn't. Amazing. No one read a fucking book. No one learned anything.
Wow.
It's fucking weird. All right, anyway.
Little Women.
Well, my mind is definitely clouded by this, my fondness for this movie.
All right. I'm going to say the audience, sometimes when a book, they go, it's not as good as the book, but who knows what... But they're going to want to like it. I remember it was, I don't know. All right. I said 79.
Yeah, oh, thank God. I've been burned by this before, but no one ever brings up, like, you haven't seen Little Women? You got to say, like, I said 80.
I said 83.
All right.
Little Women is fresh at 91.
Okay.
Wow. People have it.
You got to see Little Women.
Gabriel Burns in it.
People have it at 84, so the critics liked it a little better than the people.
So we are currently preparing for next month's World Championship of Guacamole.
Mm.
And to get everyone excited for that, we're including not only a World Championship of Guacamole branded avocado slicer,
awesome,
but also the guacamole recipe from last year's winner.
Mm. You know, I love this slicer. Look at this thing, man.
Yeah, it's got a handle. It's like a...
Could that also be a beer bottle opener?
Yeah.
I'm going to bust the tooth because I always, to try to get the pit out, I just bite it and twist the avocado.
A spoon?
Says the guy with dental trauma.
Yeah. That's clean. You twist it, it pops off. But this thing has a tool to get the pit out.
Cool. I don't doubt that it's clean. I don't think you should be using your teeth.
You swallow it.
Also,
get new ones, I guess.
Also, this notion, a lot of people get avocado hand or whatever they were calling it a few years ago. Remember that?
No.
Oh, slicing their hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because
that was a deal.
We hit it with the knife.
You know, no, not hitting it with that.
Not the
I think
it was just slicing.
While holding the avocado.
There was like something about 2 or 3 years ago, a little like trending. It was like avocado hand or something. People kept slicing their hand.
These are idiots.
Anyway, this is a tool for avocado. Yeah.
So I may have mentioned that I love guacamole. I don't know.
I don't think so.
You guys are aware of that. I also love a good Western. So I'm picking the next film.
Okay. Dawson, if they had toothpaste flavored as guacamole, would you buy it?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
So I'm picking the next film. And it's one that everyone's pretty much forgotten. Now, with all due respect to Kalen's dad, Everyone talks about Tombstone, but what about that other Wyatt Earp movie? The one that clocks in at 3 hours and 11 minutes, stars Kevin Costner, Dennis Quaid, Gene Hackman, a whole bunch of others. It's 1994's Wyatt Earp.
Mm. Didn't they come out right around the same time? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it came out a little after.
I think this one is
sweet
good.
Sweet poster.
Sweet poster.
Sad to say I haven't seen it. It's one of Dawson's favorites.
Can't remember. All right. I think it's good. Costner does good westerns. Dennis Quaid's good. Gene Hackman's always good.
Was there western fatigue? Because this is after Unforgiven. This is after Tombstone, I think. Like, is this the critics crapping on this a little bit because it's comes after a few other notable ones?
Don't know.
I don't know the answer. I'm just theorizing.
I have no idea.
It is after Tombstone.
And I my gut says this was well received and it just flew under everyone's kind of radar or was too long. Initial impulse was, I'm just going to play it down the middle. I'm going 75.
Ooh. 80.
79.
80.
Wyatt Earp is rotten.
What?
Wow.
At 44.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh. Dawson, you like this one, though.
I did. It's a really in-depth kind of look at the character Wyatt Earp.
Well, the people have it. It's
more of a history lesson.
It's 61. All right, here we go.
Okay, so let's stay on the food thing. We love bacon. This month, we're featuring spreadable bacon jam.
Yes.
I had a bite of this stuff, and it's crazy.
It's from our friends at TBJ Gourmet.
It's really good.
Speaking of that magically delicious animal, a certain animated pet pig causes chaos when a silo full of excrement pollutes Lake Springfield. The town is divided, and only one family can save them all. The Simpsons. 2007's The Simpsons Movie.
Didn't they live in a biodome, if I remember correctly?
They got a dome dropped on Springfield because they were so dangerous to the rest of the world, or quarantined or something.
Right.
When we were talking, I think we were talking to the chef from Butcher Box, and, you know,
Chef Yankel.
And when you do that thing where you go, you're a chef, how do you like your whatever? And then they kind of give you an answer, and you go, mm-hmm. You know, you go, what do you like on your pizza? Right. And they go, I like pepperoni. And you go,
yeah, shocking.
The fuck do I need you for
something
this?
Something a little more exotic.
When he was talking about how he puts the burger together, and it's like, there's only so many ways you can skin that cat. Some people like tomato, some people don't. Or, you know, they go, I like mayonnaise. And I go, okay. But when he said the bacon jam, I was
sweet.
Like, yes.
You are
now
a chef.
Yes, now
you
we're
talking. Yeah. Hey, you are a chef.
Put that bacon jam on your burger.
Now we're talking.
All right. I love The Simpsons. I've never seen this movie.
I saw it once.
Really?
Yes.
I don't really remember it. And we're on another Simpsons kick right now, and this does not come up.
It was super hyped. I mean, it was, you know, it was 18 years into the show or something.
Everything The Simpsons does is great.
No, more than that.
But do they have to answer to a higher standard? It's The Simpsons. It has to be good. But how good? 77.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't great. It was a bit of a letdown, but it was still pretty good. 80.
Yeah, it said 77 as well.
The Simpsons movie is certified fresh at 88 miles per hour.
Mother F.
Audience at 77.
It's a little overrated at 88. It's not quite that good.
Yeah.
You're better off just watching the show.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
Well, it just wouldn't be a Corolla drinks package if you didn't get a bottle of Mangria or 33 wine with your monthly nut. You do, and we love our wine over here. So does director Ridley Scott.
Really?
Yeah, that's why he switched up the tempo of his usual action-packed body of work. Cast Russell Crowe as a failed investment expert who inherits his late uncle's vineyard. Over time, his character learns that, like wine, life is meant to be savored. 2006's A Good Year.
Never heard of it.
This is bad news because I love Ridley Scott and I barely am aware of this movie.
I never heard of this movie.
Heard of it, Gina.
No, never. A Good Year? No.
Okay.
Nothing about this looks familiar.
She's vehement, Adam.
No, I there's nothing in my, and I'm going to Napa. It's not jogging anything.
Watch this on the plane.
Okay.
Let's see.
A Good Year.
Wow.
No idea.
Vague recollection of this movie.
I've heard of it. Never seen it.
Is that, what's her face? The French actress?
Oh,
Marion Cotillard?
Amelie.
Yeah. Oh, I was in Marion Cotillard.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Brian, yeah.
Woo!
Nice call.
Yeah, I got 5 points for that.
All right. Boy.
Oof.
Couldn't, I mean, who knows?
People, once again, no one's ever said to me, you got to see a good year.
Right. I have no idea. People like these kinds of movies with Ridley Scott. Like, how could it work? I don't know. I say rotten at 49.
61.
I felt the need to go a little bigger. I said rotten at 39.
A good year is rotten.
Damn it.
At 25.
Okay, whoa. Good.
That's a big blow.
That's what I like to hear.
Wow, what'd you say?
39.
Okay, oh, boy, shit. Boy. This is, we're that's going in the last one. Yeah. I think this is anyone's ball game at this point.
Anyone except me.
I don't know.
It's off by 40, almost 40 points on that one.
We've saved the best prize for last, like the fabled Willy Wonka golden ticket. We're randomly selecting one box and including with it an exclusive invitation to join Adam and his buddies at the warehouse for an afternoon of football Sunday. That's right. One lucky winner and their plus one will get a chance to see how the fudge is packed. Spend an afternoon with the Ace Man. And speaking of unwanted visitors, remember that time Sinbad was on the run from the mob?
No.
And had to hide out at Phil Hartman's house? Yeah, we tried to forget it too, but how bad is it? 1995's House Guest.
There was okay.
He's in the mailbox?
Yeah, Sinbad. There was a whole lot of, like, neighbory. There was a steal your identity and move into the house.
Yes. That was Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin and Queen Latifah.
Yeah, and Moving with Dana Carvey and Richard Pryor.
A lot of black and white Dash. People not expected to get along.
Let's not forget the Jim Belushi where he took over Charles, what's his name's identity?
Like, Curly Sue?
No. See, let me explain. There was like 80s, 90s, like being rich was like rich. Yeah, you were like rich guy.
You're bad guy.
Money, rich guy. I got a phone in my car and I'm doing deals. It was like rich guys were like rich guys and they dressed that way and they carried an attaché case. They had, you know, had their initials on their
lapels.
Someone
opened the car door for them. Yeah.
And then at some point, lovable rogue Jim Belushi, Charles Grodin was the rich guy. He like finds his wallet and he's
was it Mr. Destiny?
Taking care of business is what it was called. Yeah. The 80s and 90s had a lot of like fake guys. Like, this guy was working in the mailroom, but they think he's the genius stock boy, whatever. Now he's up in the corner office. He can't let anyone find out.
That's big.
Yeah, he's like James Belushi, like finds Charles Grodin's wallet or something, or briefcase, or planner. You know, you'd find someone's planner.
Sure.
And the next thing you know,
their identity.
You move into their house in Beverly Hills. And then at some point, when the guy tries to get in, the cops like show up. Yeah. And then you're going, wait a minute, this is my house. All right, tell it to the judge. Tell it to the judge. And they like handcuff him and take him away. And then they show the next scene. He's in the bathtub. Smoking a cigar.
Yeah, with a top hat.
Bottle of champagne
and a
top
hat.
Woo, this is my new home.
You know that you described Opportunity Knocks. Dana Carvey.
Right. And then at some point, there's some female who thinks he's a rich guy, but starts to like him anyway. But she can't let them...
the other rich guys.
How are these movies pitched? Like, how long is this guy going to live in this guy's Bel Air mansion? The cops are confused. It's like... Okay, he left his planner on a bench, and this guy picks it up. You really think that's how it works with the cops?
That's how it works.
Who has the deed?
Who's, like, paying the mortgage?
Yeah.
This guy have a money manager. Is there any paperwork on this house with this person's name on it?
Any receipts?
They just go right, they sail right along. They go, like, well, how do we get the poor guy into his house? He finds his day planner. Okay.
Okay, that sounds about right.
All
right.
Moving on.
We've all been in that situation.
Solved that problem. We've crossed that script talking point. We're moving on. Like, okay. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of these.
What's the fuck is this movie? Sinbad movie.
All right. It's got to be. Okay, now here's what it is. Sinbad's likable. Phil Hartman's likable. Maybe.
Yeah, no, both those things are true.
Maybe,
especially in 1995.
Maybe it's 37, but maybe it's zero. And Brian's got to make up a few points. So I feel like Brian's going to go big. Mm. And when I say Brian's going big, I think Brian's going low.
Going negative.
Why don't I blow your mind and go like 65?
Do it.
That would be the other direction to go. I don't think that... I don't know if I have a lead. I don't know if Gina has a lead. I'm not going to play to protect anything. I'm going to go 13.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got to go 0.
11.
House guest is certified. No. It's rotten at 14.
Oh, wow. Shit.
That was a big score for you, man.
Yeah, but Gina went 11, so she only missed me by 2 or whatever.
Damn.
This is close.
Everybody's on the podium.
Jesus.
Bald Brian.
Not my finest showing.
You didn't break 100, man. 105 is your score. Adam and Gina both sitting in the 70s. Adam Carolla, you have won. Second, to think about how well you played this game. Gina Grad, you have won as the last number of your score. That also means you have won this game. 71 to 79.
Thank you. Good game.
Gina
good
Grad.
Game. Felt good.
Well, a little dry spell for Brian.
I think that's true.
We don't talk about that enough.
It's just you've established your excellence.
I appreciate
It's sort of when the Oakland Raiders kind of fell off a little. It's only because of their winning percentage.
And we really noticed horrific dip.
There's been a couple years I made the playoffs.
Yeah. All right. You can subscribe at hit the subscription box for Adam's Monthly Nut. And what do? Go to adamcarolla.com and do that. It's a lot of good stuff in here. I like it. Do it for yourself. I am kind of curious who's going to win this golden ticket and show up. And it's Sunday, November 17th, so that'll be the game watching.
Wow. That's a big deal, man. A lot of people say, like, oh, we could come to football Sundays, and now you get your chance.
I'll tell you, when the Nick Santoras and the Kevin Henches get a couple beers and start talking, and Sal and everyone else, but, I mean, when those guys get going, it's... There are not many funnier guys than those guys when they get going, just to sort of sit and talk to.
That being said, is the guest going to have to sign an NDA of any kind?
No. Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back to the news right after this.